every once in a while. So feel kind of at home. And Marsha and I just moved to Willis, so we're even closer. But that's the good news. The bad news is we still drive to Sugarland to go to work, and so that's a little bit of a drive. I'm taking up an offering for a helicopter if anybody wants to contribute. You know, no. But it's always great to be here. We love the Conroe Vineyard, Raymond Teresa, and all you guys, and it's always great to be here. Well, I have something I want to share this morning that kind of came out of an experience or two that I've had recently, so it's kind of fresh with me. But, you know, as I was reflecting on this stuff that I've experienced, I realized that, and you may or may not realize this, but is that all of us operate in some way with a life metaphor. I mean, we're not always aware of it, but there's always this kind of like life metaphor that's operating in the background of our mind, and it affects our choices, our decisions, our, you know, the way we go in life. It affects maybe what church we go to, who we marry, or what we do with our free time. All these things are kind of informed by this, for lack of a better term, life metaphor. And I'll explain, if that's not obvious, explain it a little bit more. And it really affects everything that has to do with how we view life. It's kind of like a filter or a grid through which we look at everything. And so these life metaphors are like this subconscious guiding templates that shape and guide, like I said, our choices and attitudes. They're kind of like a computer code. You know, when you're using the computer, you're not aware there's a bunch of zeros and ones embedded deep down in some silicon, you know, and they're doing their thing, and you're seeing pictures and words and stuff like that. But this code basically kind of controls what happens and what doesn't happen. So, you know, just to give you some examples, if our life metaphor was, say, a party, life is a party. That's the life metaphor that informs my life, or maybe Disneyland or something like that. Then we just want to have fun and be happy, right? So whether we decide to go to this church or that church, what's going to be a big factor in that? Will I have fun and be happy? You know, or what store I go to, or what I do on Friday night. Because life is a party, and everything's measured by this grid that we have. Or some of us have a life metaphor where life is more like a test, and we just want to pass and not fail. Anybody relate to that one? You know, we hate to fail. We just want to make the grade, you know. Or maybe you see life as a storm, and we just want to survive and come out without damage, persevere. Some look at life as a game. I know a lot of people that their life metaphor is more like a game. We want to win, and we don't want to be a loser. You know anybody like that? You know, competitive people? you know, everything's a game. Everything's a competition, you know. Some people, life is a fort where we just want to be safe and not die, and so everything's about security and protection and guarding ourselves and that kind of stuff. Others, life is a rat race or maybe a maze, you know, where we just want to get out of this thing without getting lost, and we want our cheese. Well, you know, in the Bible, there's running metaphor that we see throughout the whole scriptures, that life is a journey. It's a pilgrimage. And in this, you know, it kind of informs us that we're all like traversing through life. And as much as we plan and prepare and try to write our history in advance, in reality, we're all on this journey and we don't really know where we're going or how things are going to end up. It might be news to some of you. Sometimes we live in this deceived state that we're in control of everything, and we've got it planned out, and at age 30, I'm going to do this, at age 40, I'm going to do that. And I always love the question, you know, in 10 years, where do you want to be? Alive, at a party, passing the test, winning, you know, I don't know. But where do you see yourself in 20 years? I don't know. I've done a million of those things, and I understand them, and to some extent they're helpful. But how do we know what we're going to be doing in 20 years? How do we know what's going to happen at the end of our life? Well, if we're following Jesus, we know what eventually will happen. But as far as our life here, we don't know. And so it would seem to me that if we don't know, life would really help if we had a life guide, a guide along the journey, wouldn't it? Be helpful to kind of somebody that's been that way before, knows the ropes. What if we adopted as an overarching narrative or metaphor in our life or in this journey that we're in, and this metaphor served as an awesome guide, a wise guide, and that would help us navigate the path no matter what comes our way, because we're always throwing curveballs. You know, we think we're going this way, and then all of a sudden, I mean, nobody anticipates, fatal diseases or broken relationships or financial ruin. You know, we don't plan those things, do we? Where do you see yourself in 20 years? Well, I was thinking I'd be divorced and bankrupt. That's my plan. Nobody makes that plan. But sometimes in 20 years, we find ourselves in those kind of situations, So it'd be great if we had somebody that could kind of like, hey, look, that's a pitfall, that's a dead end, that kind of stuff. And so this morning I'd like to propose a labyrinth as a life metaphor, and all of you are going, yeah, that makes sense, a labyrinth. What the heck is a labyrinth? I didn't know what one it was either. And so those of us that are trying to be followers of Jesus, genuine followers of Jesus, I think a labyrinth is an awesome guiding life metaphor for us to go by. So what is a labyrinth? That's a labyrinth. Looks like a brain, doesn't it? A labyrinth is, first of all, a single path. And it's used for personal, psychological, spiritual transformation. It's a tool. And like I said, I wasn't aware of these things. I'd heard the term labyrinth. I remember there was like a movie in the 70s or something about a labyrinth. Was it Billy Idol or somebody like that? I think yeah. David Bowie, same thing, whatever. They kind of look alike, don't they? Anyway. But, I didn't really know what a labyrinth, in my mind, I thought, labyrinth, isn't that kind of like a maze or something? But anyway, but then all of a sudden I kept hearing, I've been reading and doing some things on spiritual direction, and I kept hearing this, I went on a labyrinth walk, and it was really insightful. I'm like, I didn't know what it was, so I looked it up. Well, then something else happened where I experienced it. But anyway, a labyrinth is a single path for personal, psychological, and spiritual transformation. Labyrinths, they actually began to appear in churches, walls and floors way back, 1,000 years after Christ. And you even find some examples from churches in the Roman Empire where they had these. And there's some people that, some of the books mention that labyrinths on church floors and walls and stuff like that were actually for people that couldn't physically or for some other reason make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. They could do it, right there in the church, kind of simulated, thank you very much, kind of making that pilgrimage. And so what we have up here is called a classical seven-circuit labyrinth, and it's probably the most popular one. And what happens here is you enter where it says entrance. And but the interesting thing is there's only one entrance, okay? And you enter there, and it's not necessarily obvious at first, but there's only one path. That's all one path. You know, it's and so you enter and you follow it around, and it's circuitous and, you know, goes through all these different circuits, and then it ends up in the center. If you just keep going along the path, you end up in the center, and then there's these paths that lead you there, and the paths are defined by walls, you know, on each side of the path, or something that delineates the path. And so it's kind of simple. It's a single path. It goes all over the place, has twists and turns, ends up in the center, and then you go back out. And so one thing that's interesting to me is that Labyrinth only has one path. The way in is also the way out. And there's no blind alleys. The path leads you, you know, twists and turns to the center and out again. And I think at its most basic understanding, the labyrinth is a metaphor for our life journey to the center, where we experience Jesus at the deepest level. And this is where we receive and experience the depth and breadth and height and width of his unconditional love for us. And there's all kinds of twists and turns and things we encounter on this path. But when we get there, it's worth it. And we experience this incredible love that Jesus has to offer for us. And it's not like you get there once. I mean, like, my experience is kind of like you're going in, and then you kind of go back out, and then you end up, you know, experiencing that again. And as a result of this, many times, and this is, I'm going to share my experience in a minute about walking this labyrinth, because at first I thought, what is this going to do? This is kind of hokey, you know, just walking around in a circle or back and forth. But it's amazing what happens and how God uses this to actually work his transformation in our life and understanding this thing. Because as a result of this, not so much the labyrinth itself, but what it represents in life, in reality, is we discover who we really are and who we are not, and what he has created us for, who he's created us to be, what maybe our true calling is, and then we're empowered and we're sent back out to share that experience and the love that we experienced with others in the world. Now, a labyrinth often is confused with a maze, but it's not to be confused with a maze, because that's a maze. And a labyrinth, remember, has one path. A maze has many paths, and it has many crossroads. And, you know, when I think about a maze, I immediately get anxiety, right? Am I going the right way? Do I take a left? Do I take a right? Do I go straight? Which one's a dead end? Will I ever get out of here? Will I get my cheese? You know, it's just, it's full of anxiety. And sometimes our life metaphor is a maze, right? Oh, here's a fork in the road. Which way do I go? Just think about the peace, the comfort of knowing there's one path. And Jesus guides us along that path. It's different than a maze, although it's sometimes they're used interchangeably. A labyrinth only has one way, and you can't really go wrong. That's comforting. The way in is the way out. You know, I said in the Bible, you know, it talks about a journey, and it's everywhere. I mean, if you read the Bible through those lenses of a journey, you can't get away from it. Like I said, it's everywhere. And one of the most familiar passages is the 23rd Psalm. Many of us can quote the whole thing right now. And so I want to take something that's very familiar to us and just read it with these lenses of a labyrinth or a journey with Jesus as our guide, and just listen to the language of journey. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, sometimes we have images of shepherds where he's just sitting there while we're all huddled up, you know. But really, a shepherd's not passive at all. He's always leading the sheep somewhere to get nourished, to get fed, to drink, away from danger. And so the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So you see this kind of a picture of a journey with a guide, a shepherd, and the wonderful places that we go. And as you unpack that, it's pretty rich. Well, recently I had two journeys that I went on, and they were similar in some ways and different in other ways. And the first one is a few months ago. I was in Oregon at a worship leader's retreat, and we had an afternoon off, and so they said there were some great hiking trails nearby, and there was a group of maybe half a dozen of us or so that decided to venture out and spend the afternoon hiking through the Oregon hills along the Pacific coast. And so it started kind of like drizzling, rainy, you know, but we went anyway. And so we took this route down to the coast. It was pretty safe. It was kind of muddy, but still safe. And we got there, and then we were coming back. It was maybe a half a mile or something like that. We were coming back, and there was this little path that went off to the right and up. And my buddy Crispin, I don't know, has Crispin been here? Anyway, my buddy Crispin, huh? Yeah, we sang one of his songs this morning. Anyway, he was one of the ones that was with us, and we looked at each other and kind of like, hey, you want to see where that trail goes? And we tried to talk the rest of people into it, but they wouldn't do it. So they went back to the car, and Crispin and I headed up on this trail. And here's the thing. We took off. We didn't know where it would take us. We didn't know how long it was. We didn't know how lost we were eventually. We didn't know if we would get back safely. We didn't know what was over the next ridge, because you'd kind of go up and around and then over and then that, you know, that kind of thing. We didn't know what was to come, you know. We didn't know that the beautiful scenery that we were going to get to see way up high, seeing the ocean from that view and how awesome it was. We had no idea. But, you know, if there would have been someone that had been down that path before, that would have been a lot more fun, because I have to admit, there was some anxiety in the trip. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you get that point of no return. Like, we kept saying, you think we should turn back? You think we should turn back? Well, let's just go over that next ridge. And then you get far enough where you go, well, we don't know if this goes back anywhere close to where we're going. Do we keep going? Do we go back? And we decided to keep going. And but it would have really been helpful for a guide to kind of say, hey, yeah, this is a great place. It ends, you end up here and blah, blah, blah. Go down this path, go down this. And it would have allowed us to enjoy the hike a lot more, and maybe not end up 2 or 3 miles away from where they were waiting for us on the highway that we, they were mad at us. But we had an adventure and a labyrinth experience. Then a couple weeks later, I was in Scottsdale, Arizona at a Franciscan retreat center with some other Vineyard leaders. And for part of the meeting, they had a spiritual director there leading us in some exercises with prayer and meditation and spiritual direction types of things. And when I got there, it was, you know, it was this retreat kind of in the desert. I was just kind of walking around on my own over the grounds, and I came to, there's a sign that says Labyrinth that way, and I go, oh, I've heard about that. Let me go check it out. And I went, and that's the actual picture of the labyrinth that was there. And I looked at it, and I don't know about you, but I was really disappointed with what I thought a labyrinth was. I was seeing these huge hedges, you know, like Alice in Wonderland kind of thing, you know. But that turns out that was a maze, not a labyrinth. Anyway, so I'm thinking, what in the heck can that, how's that going to transform your life, you know? That looks kind of, so anyway, I had this idea. I'm going to go ahead and just like walk through there like it's like a magic thing you walk through, and when you come out, you're changed, you know? Yeah, well, it didn't really work that way, but, and so I was kind of walking along the little path, you know, and I really felt kind of stupid, you know, kind of, but I kept asking myself, what was the big deal? I'm like, is this like spiritual hopscotch or, you know, it's long jump or spiritual twister? Maybe that's what it was, you know, anyway. And I really honestly, what could a path with a few twists and turns do for you spiritually? And then a couple days later, I didn't know this, but this guy that was leading us, guiding us, took this whole group of about 15 or 16 people through the labyrinth. So I got to do it a second time. And this time, he let one person in at a time, and then after a few seconds, he'd let the next person. And, you know, I felt stupid doing it the first time. I really felt stupid with a bunch of other people that felt stupid going through here, you know. And we're like, okay, what's going on? Well, once everybody got into the labyrinth, he said, I'd like everybody to stop right where they are. And then he just kind of asked us some questions, you know, about, like, what do you observe? Just stop where, what do you observe, you know? And all of a sudden, these, like, insights about following Jesus and the Christian life. It was just incredible, the stuff that began to happen. And I'm still feeding on it. That's why I'm kind of sharing some of these things with you. But so the question I want to ask is, how might our life be different if we use the labyrinth as a life metaphor? And what I want to do is kind of share with you five simple questions that I felt like the Lord asked me through this experience that I'm still, like I say, I'm still thinking about it, meditating on it, feasting on it. God's still speaking to me on this. And so I want to kind of share those with you. Now, I don't want to share it so that, you know, I'm not saying, okay, these are the questions that are for you. What I am saying is that as we journey with Jesus, there's some key questions or things that he will point out over different times in life. And it's for you to discover what those might be. And I'm giving these as examples of what's happening or what happened with me or is still happening with me. By way of kind of illustration of how forceful this guiding metaphor could be, if it's that code that works beneath the surface of what happens in our life and how we respond and react. The first question I asked myself as I was walking along here is, you know, where am I going? Of course, I knew where I was going. I got it right away that this thing kept going and it ended up in the center, but I was really asking, why? What is the point? Where am I going? And then I began to realize that the center is home for all those that follow Jesus. It's that place that we come to where we feel safe in Jesus. We experience his unconditional love. We it's where we can just be without having to feel like we've got to be something. We can be who we are and feel not judged but accepted. Home is a place where we can really rest. Just rest. It's where we're relieved of all our baggage. Will you throw me that water, babe? Does everybody know my wife, Marcia? She's my guide and my bride. How about that? It's a poem. So, home is this place where we're free from our enemies. We're free from anxiety. We're free from fear and disease and sin and death. And that's all because we experience the love and acceptance of Jesus. The center is also a place where, because of experiencing the reality, how awesome Jesus is we gladly lay down and trade in all of our dreams and goals and ambitions, and we willingly pick up the cross of Christ and become equipped with everything that we need, and then we're sent back out into the world to share with others the love of Jesus. And we're empowered to rescue others from the grip of darkness. So the first question was, where am I going? And it brought great comfort to know that's where I'm heading. That's my goal. That's the prize. Second question I had is, what are the boundaries that define my path? This was a big one for me. Because the only thing that makes that a labyrinth versus just a desert were these stones on each side of the path that defined the path. And God just really started talking to me. He's like, okay, in your life, what defines the path? Now, what defines our path is our boundaries or our limitations, the very things we hate, the very things we resist, the things we kick against, right? It's what we can't do. It's where we can't go that actually provides the path that God leads us in life. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that was like a revelation. He's still really working that in me. And so I started thinking, what determines the boundaries of our life? Or better, who defines the boundaries of our life? And what if our life metaphor as a labyrinth helped us accept our limitations as being right, good, and normal? Because most of the time we see our limits as something that's holding us back. It's evil, you know, like parents. Right? Amen. I'm getting amen over here now. Or whatever it is, you know. We all have limits. And what we can and cannot do, or where we can go or not go. But, you know, many times these limits are imposed by God, and that's really the first thing we need to do when we feel like we're stuck or we're limited or we want to go somewhere we can't, is we need to ask ourselves or ask God, is this you, or have you placed this limit on my life? And sometimes the very commitments that he calls us to and he gives us grace to do, like getting married, automatically places limits on our life, right? If I say yes to Marcia, I want to marry you and be faithful to you, what is it saying no to? Being unfaithful. And some would say, oh, well, that's not freedom. Well, I don't know if it is or not. Maybe freedom is accepting our limits as good and living life fully within those limits, rather than always thinking about, oh, if these weren't here, I could just do this, I could just do that, or if I wasn't ugly, I could have this kind of person for a spouse, or if I, you know, wasn't this or that, if I could just play baseball better, I don't know, you know, whatever. Whatever these things are that we see as limitations. Freedom is, though, walking within the boundaries and enjoying life. And when we're set free and we accept the limits and the boundaries in our life, we stop comparing our life or path to others who have different boundaries and limitations. We look over there and go, how come they can do this? I can't do this. So what? They're on a different path. This is a big one. This could be a whole message in itself. I need to move on. But the Lord is my shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. What? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know what a rod and staff do? You know, it's kind of move you along or grab you by the neck and pull you back, limit you, you know. And I love the passage in Psalm 16 that says, Lord, you are my portion and my cup. Both of those speak of limits. Portion defines how much. A cup defines how much. You make my lot secure. Listen to this. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. There's somebody who's free and understands that God has limited their life in some way, that he's laid out the boundary lines and they've fallen in pleasant places, and they're okay with it. That's a good way to live. So what boundaries has God placed in your life, and are you okay with them? It's a good thing to think about. Third question is, am I going the right way? This is an interesting one. How do I know I'm on the right path? Anybody ever wrestle with that one? Or have I slowly and subtly drifted off, you know, out into error somewhere? And how about this one? I know you love this. Am I in God's perfect will? I don't know. What is that? You know, as opposed to his almost perfect. I mean, his will, but not his perfect. You know, I mean, that question will mess you up. You know, it's like there's this perfect will. I mean, just think about the anxiety of that. That's a maze. Oh, I don't know. Is this perfect will right, left, straight? And yeah, Dairy Queen. What? if we make one wrong turn, then we've blown his perfect will. We might as well just hang it up. I mean, anyway, that's another message too. If you're like me, I get haunted by passages like Proverbs 16:25. There's a way which seems right to a man, but in the end, it's the way of death. That'll mess with you. Well, I think I'm on the right path. Uh-oh. So therefore, I need to go on the path I think is wrong, right? I mean, what do you do with something like that? How do you know whether you're going on the right path? Because, you know, that's the one that... this anxiety over walking in God's the right way, you know? And that's exactly why we need a guide or a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, for his purposes. And that's what we rest in, that he guides us. It's not my problem. It's not ultimately for me to be in his perfect will. He's the one that guides us. He's our shepherd. We don't have to have anxiety over that. He leads me down the right path. He guides me along right paths. So often we see our fellow followers of Jesus, and it appears they're going the wrong way, right? And by that I mean they're not going the way we're going. And therefore they're going the wrong way. They're going 180 degrees this way from us. We're going this way, they're going that way. And therefore they must be going the wrong way. But they say they're a follower of Jesus. And what do? Well, we judge them. And we speak ill of them. All those other godly things the Bible says to do about people that go the wrong way, especially other believers. But we tend to do that, right? Well, I had this experience. I'm walking in this labyrinth that day, and we're all these leaders, they got within the labyrinth, and the guy says, stop, and make observations. And I was just about at one of those turns, like right here on the right. You know, I was like on the bottom here. And there was another leader that I greatly respect. So I'm going this way. He's going that way. But he's right next to me. And he's a leader I really respect. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks as we stopped and we looked around and observed. And I thought, wait a minute. He's going the opposite direction that I am. Which one of us is going the right way? We both were. We were both headed to the center. And I had one of those, like, paradigm shifts. Is that an experience? If you've been in the vineyard very long, you've heard of the whole centered set. And I always thought that the center was Jesus, and we're all kind of heading the same direction. And this gave me a whole new view of that. Maybe we're not always, maybe it doesn't look like we're all headed the same direction, but we're still headed to the center. And both of us love Jesus. We are both headed, he was just on a different place on the path. It just really set me free to not be as judgmental. I don't have to decide whether he's going the right way or not. I got to make sure I'm going the right way, you know. So it exposed my pride of direction. I didn't know I had a pride of direction. But so the fourth question was, am I going at the right pace? You know, am I going fast enough? Am I going too slow? And here's what I realized in walking this. It didn't matter whether I sped up or slowed down. But I did realize that we don't get extra points for finishing first. It's not a race. It's not a competition. I mean, just look at the pace in this psalm that we're reading. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me slow down. Right? Don't you get that feel from that? He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. We're always going so fast. And there was that thing in me, you know, I wanted to pass some of these guys. You know, but you can't do that. There's room for one person on that path. I just wanted to go, come on, man, let's go, let's go, let's get to the end, you know, anxiety. Are we going at the right pace? We need a guide that leads us at the right pace. And then the last question was, how far along am I? You're like, am I making progress? Are we there yet? You know, that kind of thing. And one of the revelations I had walking the labyrinth is when I was closest to the center, I was the farthest away from it. And when I seemed the farthest away, I was really very near the center. Confused? Okay, well, let's look at it this way. This is the entrance right here, and or it's really to the left. And the center is right there. That was the closest to the center I was, but I was the farthest away. And then way back in the back there, you can't really see it, but that line, it's really the farthest away from the center, but you're almost there. You're just around the corner. And God just really spoke to me about quit judging how near or far away I am from him. I'm on his path. He watches over me. He is my shepherd. It's not like we don't experience his love until we get to the center. It just means we're kind of centered when we get there. And it helps us along the way. So I was relieved of the job of judging my nearness and farness because that's the job of faith. It keeps us attached. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. Look at how he guides us. He leads me. He restores. He guides me. You are with me. Your rod and your staff. You prepare a table. Goodness and mercy will follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever in his home. Well, I'm going to ask Marcia to come up, and we want to end by just doing a little ministry. But I want to invite you to, hopefully, here's your homework, to go away and just hopefully you'll reflect a little bit and maybe discover what your life metaphor is. Or, you know, it's not like you just have one necessarily. There could be different ones at different point in time. I know for me, as I reflect on this, I realized what was guiding so many of my choices and, you know, what I was looking for in some ways of life. It's eye-opening. It helps us to kind of know what drives us sometimes. And then I also would like you to go away and just reflect or maybe really what I'm doing is inviting you to take a look at a labyrinth or a journey type of metaphor, something that informs your life. It's the grid by which you walk on, where Jesus is your guide, and when unexpected things happen, we're not just ruined, because there's a way. It's all part of what he's doing. You know, so often it's our seasons of suffering that lead us to the freedom that we experience and of his love. And when we realize we're on a journey and it has ups and downs and peaks and valleys and twists and turns and rocky and smooth, then sometimes when we get these things that happen, it's not as traumatic.
We have about 5 minutes left, and just wanted to have a short opportunity for you to receive prayer. I'd just like to say, in response to Doug's message, the Lord's message through Doug today, is it'll hit you later. It's been hitting me off and on for quite a while now. And I just encourage you about just to have those thoughts about how do you look at my life metaphor is it's a test. Am I making an A? Am I making a B minus? You know, and right or wrong. And the Lord's really been speaking to me about that, and just let that go. You know, I'm safe. I'm secure. He's in charge. Relax. Enjoy the journey. So think about yours. And you don't have to spend very much time for it. It'll just pop in your head, and you'll realize how you live your life. And then the challenge of, hey, it's taking a walk with Jesus for the rest of your life. And it could be no better than walking with God. The God of the universe is right by your side. And it's amazing and powerful and freeing. So the two things that I felt like the Lord wanted to minister today. First of all, would everybody just stand up? And do you guys have ministry teams? It's okay if you don't. Okay, if you have ministry teams, would your ministry teams come up front? So you can respond to anything in this message, but the two things that I wanted to highlight, one is that I feel like there's some people in here that are just stuck in fear. You don't know whether to go forward or backwards. You're just paralyzed because you're afraid you're going to make the wrong choice or the wrong decision, or you're afraid of what's around the corner, or you're afraid you're going to mess up. So if you're a person that in your life journey, you're just stuck in fear, you're not going anywhere, the Lord wants to be with you today and to take your hand and say, come on, let's go. It's not scary. It's not going to be too fast. It's going to be perfect. And so it's an invitation to step out in faith and to walk with Jesus. And the other call I would like to give today is this is an exciting adventure, and you don't have to go on it by yourself. It's not only that you're going on it with the King of the universe, you're going on it with all of his people. And if you're at the gate or the doorway to that labyrinth, to that walk with Jesus, I just want to say, we want you to come in. We want you to come in and go with all the rest of us that he's in charge of our lives, and we don't have our act together, and we are no better than you, except that we are walking hand in hand with God. And we invite you to come and walk with us hand in hand with Jesus. He's going to take you home, and he's going to make the travel time wonderful, even if it's bad, because he's there with you. So please, please come on the journey with us. If you have any inkling in your heart, any fear that you're not good enough, that is not God's voice to you. God's voice to you is, you don't have to be good enough. I just want you to come with me, and I'm going to be with you, okay?
You know, you don't have to think about the whole journey. You just have to think about one thing. Am I going to enter or not? With a labyrinth, that's the only decision that has to be made, unlike a maze, is, am I going to enter? And then there's the journey begins to lead us, and Jesus leads us. And so for some of you, that may be the decision this morning. We invite you to come and get prayer for that. So either that or you feel, like Marcia said, stuck, and we invite you to come. I want to pray a prayer of just blessing over you, and then for those of you that want to respond to those, or if you need ministry for anything, if you need healing, Jesus is here to heal. If you need deliverance, you know, I feel like there may be some here this morning that feel like you've been detached from the vine. You no longer feel the life flowing in you from the source of life. And the fruit's not there anymore. And this morning you want to be reattached to abide in the vine. This morning when we said, keep me abiding, that was your heart cry. Jesus, I want again to feel your life. And I invite you to come and get prayer if that's the case. So Jesus, we ask you to come this morning. We thank you actually for being here. Your Holy Spirit, Lord, just pour it out afresh and anew right now, Lord. Lord, I pray that there's not one person that leaves this morning that doesn't sense your presence and your awesome love. Jesus, set us free. Lord, give us the grace to accept the boundaries that you've placed in our life. Give us the discernment to know which ones are yours and which ones are self-imposed. As you go today, may you go in the incredible peace of Jesus. May he set you free. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.